my friends. I'm Pastor Mike Hazelwood with Zion Baptist Church here in beautiful Benton, Tennessee, gateway to the Cherokee National Forest. I want to thank you for joining us again for worship and a message from God's Word. I also want to encourage you to like us on Facebook at Zion Baptist Church Benton and drop us an email and let us know how God has blessed you. And remember, God loves you, and so do we.
Good to see each and every one of you on this fine Lord's Day. And not only is it the Lord's Day, but it's three of you knew that. I'm going to ask one more time. It's not only the Lord's Day, it's Easter, Resurrection Day. Absolutely right. We're so glad that you're here. If you're our special guest today, immediately through the doorway to your left, down the hallway, you'll find a restroom on your left. At the back of the hallway, you'll find a nursery. To the steps to your left and down in the fellowship hall, you'll find a water fountain. So if any time during the service you have need of any of these facilities or amendments, you just make them available to yourself. And without any further ado, Brother Chris, would you come and lead us in worship?
We spent a little time this week and the past few weeks talking about victory, and this is our morning that we can ultimately glorify Christ and shout out that word of victory to Him. So if you would, let's all stand and turn to page 533. Page 533. Savior is risen. He's not dead. You know, when they went to that tomb, they was a little bit nervous. But God blessed us in the sense that we could look ahead a little bit. And we seen the outcome, and we know where he's at. So as we do this next part, rejoice. Think about it. Think about what Christ's resurrection meant for us. We couldn't have done it on our own. We had to do it through him. All right?
Rejoice, rejoice, O Christian. Lift up your voice and sing.
Just come to you too. We do thank you for coming and being in our hearts this morning. We thank you for the salvation that you have brought into us, Father. We thank you that we don't have to worry about a tomb holding you, that you have been victorious over death, hell, and the grave. And Father, the hope that you've brought to us, God, as we look to you this morning, we celebrate and we raise up your name and thank you for so many blessings that you've bestowed upon us, for the salvation that you've brought to us, God. Without that, there would be no hope. But you have sealed have received the keys to death, hell, and the grave. And God, you've conquered those things and gave us that light this morning. We thank you and we ask that you just be with the names that have been added to our prayer list. Father, for Bennett Hawkins, Jerry Rogers, Phyllis Stone, Paul DeFore, the Zachary Cates family, the Gunderson family, Jonathan Holt, Nola and Don Murphy, Joyce Bates, Dr. Terry Parsons, Kenny Burton, Ashley Vance, Jeff Lillard family, Michael McGee, Anthony Thomason, Paul Rogers, Phyllis Stone, Philip Rich family, Sandy Lewis family, and then always the unspoken requests that are upon the hearts of those that are here this morning and the names that are on our ongoing list. Father, we just leave these under your keeping this morning and pray that you'll touch each one accordingly. We thank you and praise you and ask all this in Christ's name. Amen. Page 407. We've talked a little bit about the fact that he lives. And that gives us hope this morning because he lives. We can face tomorrow. Today may be a sunshiny day, but we don't know what lies ahead. But with Christ, we have a hope of knowing that whatever it is, we can face it tomorrow. So page 407. so glad that we've got a future this morning. You know, it could be easy to say that death is the end, but it's not. You know, you stop and you think about the finality that a lot of people wants to put on it, but we've got hope. We've got hope when Christ won the victory over death, hell, and the grave. He shared that with us, and it brought life to us. And we've got hope in a day, someday coming later on, that we won't have to worry about the pain and sufferings that we face here on this earth. How many of you bought a new dress for Easter? Be sure and tell Jordan how beautiful his is. You know, you stop and think. We do all these things to get something new, when the life that Christ brings is a new one every day. And it's a day that we look forward to. One of these days we're going to put on a garment that'll never have to worry about rotting, that'll never decay. And I hope you get a blessing from this morning. But think about that day when we all be together. We won't have to worry about the pain, sufferings, and the trials that we face. And we won't have to wear any new garments or worry about finding any new ones, because God's going to supply all our needs.
One day when sin was as black as could be.
I'm glad he's coming back one of these days, ain't you? If you would, take a moment, fellowship one with another. Be sure to say hello to any guests that you see around you. And be sure to invite you and make yourself known to them. Children that are going to children's church will meet right up here. So if you would, let's take time to fellowship one with another.
Done.
morning. If you have your Bibles, Luke chapter 24. Luke chapter 24, 1 through 8, probably one of the more famous, if you will, historical accounts of the ladies going to the tomb to, in fact, and indeed see that Jesus Christ had risen just as He said that He would do. Amen? The title of this morning's sermon is God Keeps His Promises. As you notice in the video illustration, what does the resurrection mean today, literally, in your life? And in my life. Now, I'd like to preclude this in saying that I've had just a wonderful time this week with the Lord in putting this message together. And matter of fact, as the time went on this week, there was just so much information. And I have done my best through prayer and guidance of the Holy Spirit to trim it down where I could get it into this one service. But it is so good. And all I can tell you is that selfishly, I have been so blessed by this message that I'm going to share with you this morning. And my prayer is that you'll be blessed by it also. Because the resurrection wasn't just an event that happened over 2,000 years ago. It's alive and well today in my life and can be in your life also. And we operate so much on the promises of God. And I want to share that with you. All across America, and indeed all over the world today, Christians are celebrating Easter. The resurrection of Jesus Christ, and what an awesome time of celebration it is. You all look wonderful. As a matter of fact, Zion Baptist Church ought to look like this all the time. And it ought to be full. And really, there's not that many visitors here today. Majority is its family that we have here today. And what an awesome time and what an awesome event it is. What a great time of celebration. In the process of research, did you know that according to the latest polls conducted that 41% of Christians in the United States are in church today? 41%. Now, that's good news and bad news. Good news is that 41% is in church today. The bad news is that's the high. That's the high. That's the high end of the average. 41%. And I thought about this. I thought, wow, what an indictment on our faith as Christian people in the United States of America today. This is high Sunday attendance for all intents and purposes. This is it for Christianity. This is the Super Bowl. This is the World Series. This is the World Championship of celebration and worship for our Heavenly Father and His glorious Son, Jesus Christ. I wonder, across America, why all the apathy with professing and so-called Christian people? And I thought about this, and perhaps it's because of they have visitors, family guests at home. Maybe it's because of sports activities. Maybe it's professional sports on TV. Maybe it's hobbies. Who knows? Who knows? But I would venture to guess that perhaps their faith is hindered by their faulty understanding of exactly who Christ is and how much we need Him every day. Amen? If we actually realize how much we depend on the promises of God every day, we would be sure to worship Him every Sunday, just like it was Easter. We would be faithful about it. Every day we rely on the promises of God. Today we celebrate a promise and prophecy made by God over 6,000 years ago and shared many times over and over again in the Scripture, and that was the resurrection of the Messiah, the resurrection of Christ. And if God made good on this promise that Jesus would indeed suffer at the hands of sinful men, be crucified, and rise again, what other promises are in the Scripture that we can rely on? And that's what I want to share with you today. If you found Luke chapter 24, say amen. Amen. Let's stand together in honor of our Father's Word, and we'll read verse 1 through 8. It says, on the first day of the week, which is what? Sunday. It says, at early dawn they came to the tomb bringing the spices which they had prepared. And they found the stone rolled away from the tomb. But when they entered in, they did not find the body of the Lord Jesus. And while they were perplexed about this, behold, two men suddenly stood near them in dazzling clothing. And as the women were terrified and bowed their faces to the ground, the men said to them, why do you seek the living one among the dead? He's not here, but He is risen. And then He says in verse 6, He said, remember how He spoke to you while He was still in Galilee. He's speaking about the previous promise. Verse 7, saying that the Son of Man must be delivered into the hands of sinful men and be crucified and the third day rise again. And then in verse 8 He said, and they remembered His words. They remembered the promises that were made. Let's go to our Father in prayer. Father, we come to you this morning, and Father, we celebrate today the resurrection of your glorious Son, Jesus Christ. And Father, we remember the promise that he made before his disciples, and that promise was carried out, and we're celebrating that promise today. But Father, your word is so rich, and your character is so great, and you've made many more promises. And Father, we need to hold and cling to those promises today. Indeed, as that old song says, we need to stand on those promises today in the evil day in which we live, in such a hard day to live as a Christian person and to live out our faith. Father, help us to be quickened by your Spirit. Help your word to be edified into our hearts and our minds, that we might stand on your promises when we leave this place and be the witnesses that you've called us to be transformed in the image of the Son, which you desire us to be. And Father, we thank you for your word, and in Jesus' name we pray. And they all said, amen. Amen. Thank you. Be seated. In verse 6, Jesus reminds them that he had told them what was going to happen. Several times, in fact, he told his disciples, he reminded them of the promise of his resurrection that he had made prior to his crucifixion. Places in the Bible you can see this is in John chapter 2, Matthew chapter 12, Matthew chapter 16, Matthew chapter 27, and over again in the Scriptures. So this should not have been an amazing event to them, because Jesus had promised. The resurrection was a promise from and of God. And we also understand exactly what weight it carries for us in Christianity. What does promise mean? Just so we're all on the same page. Well, the dictionary definition of promise means a declaration that something will or will not be done. A promise is something that is given, and it is given by one to another. So we need to understand that the resurrection was a promise indeed, not only given to the disciples, but to all mankind. And it was given by no other than God himself through the second person of the Trinity in Jesus Christ. God made a promise that he would die and that he would rise again. But it goes further than that. There's many more promises in the Scripture that have yet to be fulfilled that we need to have just as much surety in as we do in the resurrection. As a matter of fact, in 2 Corinthians chapter 1 and verse 20, Paul said, "For no matter how many promises God has made, they are yes in Christ." No matter how many promises God has made, they are yes in Christ. And so through Him, the Amen is spoken to us by the glory of God. So what I want to share with you this morning is some promises in which God has spoken. And perhaps if you're struggling with some things or going through some things in your life, I want you to listen to these promises. You might just want to jot down the Scripture, but I want you to listen this morning. If you'd like to have a copy of this, I can give it to you. Some of these things will apply to you. Some of them will apply to those that are listening by way of the internet. And by the way, we want to welcome our internet listening audience. But the fact of the matter is God made so many and has made so many more promises that we need to celebrate on this Resurrection Sunday all the promises of God. For they sustain us as His children and as human beings. Now the first promise is already there. These promises are very real. Let's look at addictions, for instance. I want you to listen to this. 40 million Americans struggle with alcohol and drug addiction. And over 80 million more are using and are on the borderline. That is 119 million men. Now think of this. 119 million men, over 73% view pornography weekly. That means 83 million people. 125 million women, that's 40% of women, view pornography weekly. And so you've got roughly 120 million Americans struggling with alcohol and forms of drug addiction, prescription and illegal. And then you've got over 113 million Americans viewing pornography. And we're going to talk more about that in the family. But it's no wonder why our country is in such disarray. These addictions that people are having because they are bound by so much. But I want you to listen to the promises that God has made, not only to His children, but for those who aren't born again, those who aren't Christians, that if you'll put your faith in Christ Jesus, He can set you free from all of these things, from this sin which so easily besets us. So listen very carefully. Psalms 50 and 15 says, "Call upon me in the day of trouble, and I will deliver thee." That's a promise of God. Isaiah 58 and 6 says, "Is this not the fast that I have chosen, to loose the bonds of wickedness, to undo the heavy burdens, and to let the oppressed go free, and to break every yoke?" A promise of God. Isaiah 61:1 says, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me because He's anointed me to preach the good tidings to the meek. He has sent me to bind up the brokenhearted and proclaim liberty to the captives and opening up of the prison to them that are bound." That's a promise of God. In John 8:36 it says, "If the Son therefore shall make you free, you shall be free indeed." That's a promise from God. In 1 Corinthians 10:13 it says, "No temptation has taken you but such as common to man. But God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above what you're able, but with temptation also makes a way to escape that you might be able to bear it." That's a promise from God. In 2 Corinthians 5:17 it says, "If any man is in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things have passed away, and behold, all things are becoming new." That is a promise from God. Galatians 5:16 says, then I say, "Walk and walk in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh." Again, a promise from God. No matter what you might be struggling with, God has a promise for you and an answer. What about depression? In a church this size, and as we look around, 1 in 10 people sitting in this church is struggling with depression, according to national averages and national statistics. We all go through bouts of depression, but 1 in 10 are clinically depressed, needing medical and psychological help and so on and so forth. But listen to what the Bible says. In Psalms 9:10, the Bible says, "The Lord also will be a refuge for the oppressed, a refuge in times of trouble, so that they might learn to put their trust in Him." That's a promise from God. Psalms 34:17 says, "The righteous cry, and the Lord heareth, and He delivereth them out of all their troubles." That's a promise from God. Psalms 107 says, "They cried unto the Lord in their trouble, and He saved them out of their distress," out of their depression. That's a promise from God. Isaiah 41:10 says, "Fear not, for I am with thee, and be not dismayed. I am thy God, I will strengthen thee, and I will help thee. I will uphold thee with the right hand of my righteousness." That's a promise from God. Lamentations 3 says, "It is of the Lord's mercies that we are not consumed, because His compassions fail not. They are new every morning. Great is thy faithfulness." That's a promise from God. No matter what's got you down, God can pick you up if you put your faith and trust in Him. Some more of God's promises. Let's look at the family. You realize in America today, only 46% of the families today are traditional family homes, where the child has both mother and father, biological mother and father, in the home raising them, only 46%. In 1960, it was 76%. So in 50 years, we've turned it upside down. By the way, Satan hates your family. But the good news is, God loves your family. And He's made promises for the family. Exodus 20:12 says, "Honor thy father and thy mother, and thy days may be long upon the land which the Lord God giveth thee." That's a promise from God. Psalms 103 says, "But the mercy of the Lord is from everlasting to everlasting upon them that fear Him and His righteousness and unto the children's children." That's a promise from God. Proverbs 22:6 says, "Train up a child in the way that he should go, and when he or she is old, they will not depart from it." That's a promise from God. And by the way, mom and dads, there's no better place, no greater place to have your children on the first day of the week on a Sunday than in the house of God, where they can hear the promises of God. So one day when they're your age, they'll look back and the Word of God will take root in their heart, in their soul, in their spirit, and they'll raise your grandchildren in the house of God, hearing the Word of God. So when your grandchildren are 50 years old and they're raising their children, that Word will take root and they'll raise their children in the house of God, hearing the Word of God, to where they'll come and hear the Word of God. And it's so on and on and on. Proverbs 23:24 says, "The father of the righteous shall greatly rejoice, and he that begetteth a wise child shall have joy in him." Amen. Everybody wants a wild child. Nobody wants a stupid one. And God's the only one that can make a wise child in the things of God. No better place to have them. That's a promise from God. People all over America are dealing with fear. Chances are there's people sitting here this morning who have a fear. Fear about relationships, fear about health, fear about finances, fear about the children, fear about their parents, fear about the culture, fear about whatever. They fear the political, they fear the president, they fear the Congress. Fear, 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 fear. What promises did God make about fear? Exodus 14 says, "The Lord shall fight for you, and you shall hold your peace." That's a promise from God. Psalms 18:3 says, I'll call upon the Lord who's worthy to be praised, and I shall be saved from mine enemy. That's a promise from God. Psalms 23:4 says, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. That's a promise from God. Psalms 27:1 says, the Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is my strength and my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? Those are rhetorical questions. Those are promises from God. Isaiah 41:13 says, for I, the Lord God, will hold thee with thy right hand. Fear not, I will help thee. Listen, if you've got God helping you, who else do you need helping you? That's the only one I think that I need. John 14:27, Jesus said, peace I leave with you, my peace I give unto you. Not as the world giveth, give I unto you, and let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. That's a promise from God. You think of all these things, what promises we have in Christ Jesus, and just as surely as the resurrection happened, these promises will be filled. What about the presence of the Holy Spirit? Proverbs 1:23 says, turn at my reproof, and behold, I'll pour out my Spirit upon you. That's a promise from God. In Luke 11:13 it says, if you then being evil know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more shall your heavenly Father give the gift of the Holy Spirit to them that ask Him? That's a promise from God. Acts 1:8 says, but you shall receive power. How many people here don't need any power? I need all the power that I can get to live godly in this perverse generation. The Bible says you shall receive power after the Holy Ghost is come upon you. And you shall be witnesses to me both in Jerusalem, Judea, and Samaria, and to the uttermost parts. That's a promise from God. Acts chapter 2 and verse 17, it shall come to pass in the last day, saith the Lord, that I'll pour out my Spirit upon all flesh. That's a promise from God. Acts 2:38, Peter said unto them, repent and be baptized every one of you in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. That's a promise from God. Ephesians 3:16 says that He would grant you according to His riches in glory to be strengthened with might by His Spirit. That's a promise from God. When you find yourself at your weakest point, that's at the time when you can rely and stand on the promises of God. Let me go a little bit further. Let's hit it a little bit more in a little bit practical way. Let's look at some of the other promises of God. Now, I don't know why that's going up through there. Finances and jobs. You say, well, what about that? Well, Deuteronomy 28:12 says this. Listen to me. The Lord shall open unto thee His good treasure, and the heaven to give rain unto thy land in the season, and to bless all the work of thy hand, and thou shalt lend unto many nations, and thou shalt not borrow. Speaking of the children of God. Proverbs 10:14 says, he becometh poor that dealeth with a slack hand. In other words, if you're lazy, you're going to live in want the rest of your life. But the hand of the diligent maketh him rich. That's the promise from God. Wealth gotten by vanity shall be diminished, but he that gathereth by labor shall increase. Proverbs 13:11. That's a promise from God. Malachi 3:10 says, bring all the tithes into the storehouse, that there might be meat in my house, and prove me now, promise from God, if I'll not open up the windows of heaven and pour out on you a blessing in which you don't have room enough to receive it. That's a promise from God. Jesus said in Matthew 6:33, seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you that the world's seeking after. That's a promise from God. Philippians 4:19 says, but my God shall supply all your needs according to His riches in glory. That's a promise from God. I don't know who you are or who might be listening by way of the internet, but if you find yourself in financial difficulties, you find yourself looking or seeking for a job, you find yourself in fear, trust in the Lord. Follow Him with all your heart. Seek His understanding. He's made promises to you. What about this one? What about forgiveness? What about forgiveness? Well, as a nation, the Bible says in 2 Chronicles 7:14, if my people who are called by my name shall humble themselves, pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven, I'll forgive their sin, I will heal their land. That's a promise for a nation. What about for a people group? What about for Christians? Well, Psalms 85:2 says, thou hast forgiven the iniquity of thy people, and thou hast covered all their sins. Aren't you glad that God has forgiven you? Amen? That's a good place for an amen right there. What about for an individual? Well, Psalms 86:5 says, for thou, Lord, are good and ready to forgive, and plenteous in mercy unto all of them that call upon thee. I'm so glad that God's got plenty of mercy. Got plenty of mercy. 1 John 1:9 says, if we confess our sins, He's faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. So listen to me. As a nation and as Christians, as an individual, God has made promises not only to make us right, but to keep us right on the right standing with Him and with our fellow man. What about guidance? Did anybody ever have to make a decision in your life in which you really need to hear from God? You need direction from God. You need guidance. Well, listen, you do, whether you realize it or not. In your family, with your wife, with your children, with your job, with everything, you need guidance from God. This is what God has promised. In Genesis 28:15, He said, "Behold, I'm with thee, and I'll keep thee in all places wheresoever thou goest, and I will bring thee again into this land, for I'll not leave thee until I have done that which I have spoken of." That's the promise. Until I have done that in which I've spoken of. In Joshua 1:9, He says, "Have I not commanded thee? Be strong and of good courage, and be not afraid, neither be thou dismayed, for the Lord thy God is with thee wheresoever thou goest." Psalms 25:12 says, "What man is he that feareth the Lord? Him shall he teach in the way that he shall go." That's a promise from God. Psalms 32:8 says, "I will instruct thee and teach thee in the way in which you shall go, and I will guide thee with my eye." That's a promise from God. Proverbs 3:5 says, "Trust in the Lord with all thy heart and lean not to thy own understanding, and in all your ways acknowledge Him, and He will direct thy paths." And so if we find ourselves in need of guidance from God, we may have wandered off the wrong path, and we may have let our relationship get a little out of whack with God, because if we're walking in tune with God, He's promised that He'll direct our paths in everything that we do. Listen, Isaiah 65:24 says, "And it shall come to pass that before they call, I will answer. Even while they are still yet speaking, I will hear." Aren't you glad God knows exactly what you stand in need of even before you ask? Jeremiah 33:3 says, "Call unto me and I will answer, and I will show thee great and mighty things which thou knowest not." John 16:13 says, "Howbeit, when He, the Spirit of truth, has come, He will guide you into all truth." We need the guidance of God. That's the promise of God. James 1:5 says, "If any of you lack wisdom, let him ask God that giveth to all men liberally and upbraideth it not, and it shall be given unto him." When you need to know what to do, God has made a promise that He will inform you. If you're walking in fellowship with Him, if you're walking in obedience with Him, you've been born again, washed in the blood, you've got everything you need. That's a promise. Just as sure that there was a resurrection, there's a promise that you can have guidance. Well, what about this? What about health? Now, some of the younger people might not realize this or appreciate this, but health is about all you've got on this side of glory. Your health is very important. To be of a sane mind and to be of a healthy body, it's very, very important. This is what the Bible says about health. Psalms 103:2 says, "Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all of His benefits, who forgiveth all thy iniquities and who healeth all thy diseases." That's a promise. Proverbs 3:7 says, "Be not wise in thy own eyes, and fear the Lord, and depart from evil, and it shall be health to thy navel and marrow to thy bones." That's a promise from God. Isaiah 40:31, you know this verse. "But they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up like on wings as eagles, and they shall run and not be weary, and they shall walk and not faint." That's a promise from God. Isaiah 53:5 says, "He was wounded for our transgressions, He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon Him, and by His stripes we are healed." That's a promise from God. Jeremiah 17:14 says, "Heal me, O Lord, and I shall be healed. Save me, and I shall be saved." That's a promise from God. Jeremiah 30:17 says, "For I will restore health unto thee, and I will heal thee of all thy wounds, saith the Lord." That's a promise from God. By the way, do you know that one day you will be healed in totality, 100%? That's a promise from God. Just assured of the resurrection, so is healing in the wings for those who trust in Him. James 5:14 says, "Is any sick among you? Let him call for the elders of the church. Let them pray over him. Anoint him with oil in the name of the Lord. And the prayer of faith shall save the sick, and the Lord shall raise him up. And if he's committed sins, they too shall be forgiven him." That's a promise from God. All of these promises that we have in the Lord Jesus Christ, are we beginning to see, you know what, that we can't even function every day without the promises of God in order to support us. What about marriage and companionship? Man, I should have got some amens out of that right there. Because we're all in need in our marriages and our companionship, aren't we? Yep, listen. You might think you're sailing the Titanic right now, as they did, before the iceberg. But listen, there's an iceberg out there for you. Just want you to know that. Satan, sure, he's got an iceberg out there for you, for your marriage, for your companionship, and for all that's going on. But I want you to listen to what the Lord says. And by the way, I want to say thank you to all the couples that are coming to the Five Love Languages class. It doesn't mean these couples have problems. It just means that, you know what? They're repairing the roof while the sun is shining. It means that they're making an investment in their marriage. And you know what? We need to make investments in our marriage. That's the foothold and the stronghold of the Church of Jesus Christ. Well, this is a promise from God. Genesis 2:18 says, "The Lord God said, it's not good that man should be alone, and I'll make him a helpmeet for him." That's a promise from God. Look over at your wife, guys, and say, you know what? You're a promise from God. Go ahead. Some of you are doubting that, but the Bible says so. So look over at her and say, "You're a promise from God, baby." Ready? 1, 2, 3. Look at her. Don't forget baby. You got to put baby in there. You're a promise from God, baby. All right, now look here. Psalms 37:4 says this, "Delight thyself also in the Lord, and He shall give thee the desires of thine heart." Ladies, look over at your husband and say, "You are the desire of my heart, honey." Some of you look like you don't know for sure. It should be. It should be. That's a promise from God. You should be in hot pursuit, as Roscoe P. Coltrane says. Listen, you say, "Well, you know what? I'm not married." Well, I've got good news for you too. God has made a promise for you. He said in Psalms 68:6, "God setteth the solitary in the families." No matter if you've lost a spouse or you've experienced a divorce, God has given you the ability to be single for the amount of time that you are single. That's a promise from God. Aren't you glad of that? That's a promise from God. Proverbs 18:22 says this. You ain't going to believe this. "Whosoever findeth a good thing, whosoever findeth a wife, findeth a good thing. And he obtaineth favor from the Lord." Look over at your wife and say, "You are favored from the Lord, honey." Go on, look at her. This is active participation in church today. Look over and say, "You are favored from God." Yeah, that's God's promise fulfilled in you. If you've got a wife, that's God's promise fulfilled. If you've got a husband, that's God's promise fulfilled in your life. Some of you are looking like you can't hardly keep your breakfast down. You should have come to the class. You should come to the class that we're having. Well, we talked about marriage and companionship. Listen, salvation and God's love. Now, I want you to listen to me closely. Isaiah 44:22 says, "I have blotted out as a thick cloud thy transgressions, and as a cloud thy sins. Return unto me, for I have redeemed thee." That's a promise from God. Jeremiah 15:21 says, "And I will deliver thee out of the hand of the wicked," speaking of Satan, "and I will redeem thee out of the hand of the terrible," speaking of Satan, your enemies, your adversary. That's a promise from God. John 3:16, you ever thought about this? "For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him," this is the promise, "that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish but have everlasting life." That is a promise from God. John 3:36 says, "He that believeth on the Son have everlasting life." That is a promise from God. Romans 6:23 says, "For the wages of sin is death." That too is a promise from God. But even greater is the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ. That is a promise from God. So not only do we have assurance of our salvation, which is a promise from God through the man Jesus Christ who died on the cross and then rose again, God not only saves us, but then God keeps us saved. And He can keep us eternally saved and eternally loved. The Bible says in Romans 8:38, "For I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus." Listen to me. That's a promise from God. In Romans 10:9, it says, "If we shall confess with our mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in our heart that God had raised Him from the dead, we will be saved." That's a promise from God. Hebrews 13:5 says, "Let your conduct be without covetousness, and be content with such things as you have," He says. "For I said," here's the promise, "I'll never leave you nor forsake you." That is an inclusive promise. That is an elusive promise for many to believe in, but it's inclusive for all of those who put their faith and trust in Jesus Christ, that He said He'll never leave you nor forsake you. If you put your faith and trust in Him, and you found yourself zigging when you ought to have been zagging, you found yourself bumping between the ditches in the road, just straighten up and hold her straight in the love of Jesus Christ. He hasn't left you. He's not going to forsake you. I share this all the time when we go to the jail and we preach there. And I know a lot of times in their mind and in their consciousness that they have sinned so great that God's no longer interested in them or that God's no longer can use them. But I've got good news for them. He said He'll never leave you nor forsake you, no matter what. The Bible says in Revelation 3:5, He that overcometh, the same shall be clothed in white raiment. And I will not blot out His name out of the book of life, but I will confess His name before my Father and His angels. Listen to me one day. This little old fat country boy is going to stand before the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, the Lamb of God, is going to declare before the Heavenly Father that I am His. That's a promise from God. And that's the same promise that He'll give you if you put your faith and trust in Him. And you know that you have because it's indicative of a changed life. It's indicative that you love the brothers and sisters of Christ that are around you. It's indicative that you love the collective church as a whole. All the promises of God are rich. And listen, I had to whittle this thing down. They're just over and over and over and over. Listen, Revelation 3 in verse 20 says, Jesus said, Behold, I stand at the door and knock. And if any man hears my voice and opens the door, here's the promise. I'll come into him and he'll sup with me and he with me. We have fellowship with God through Jesus Christ. Isn't that a wonderful, wonderful promise? Oh, we jumped right up. Here we go. The last one. Strength to do God's will. How many of you need strength to do God's will? Say amen. I do. Listen to me. A lot of you younger people, a lot of you younger Christians, I hope and pray that when you made your profession of faith or when you were saved or when you were baptized that it was genuinely true. I hope that you were sincere and I hope that it was real. If it is, the Bible says you received the Holy Spirit of God and you know that because His Spirit bears witness with you that you are indeed a child of God. If you don't have that assurance, I would encourage you today, on the day of all days, to experience the greatest promise of God to come into fellowship with Him. He's knocking on your heart's door. And if you'll accept Him, all these promises that I have went through, not only have I read about them, but I have experienced them. Now, not that my experience gives any validity to the Scripture, but my experience runs parallel to the Scripture, that the Scripture is true. And God has all these things waiting for you if you put your faith and trust in Him. Now, it doesn't make any difference if Mama or Dad or Aunt Sookie and Uncle Ben, all of them think that you're Christian. What's most important is what do you know in your heart? And if you've been born again, it makes a difference. And if you've been born again, He'll give you the strength to do His will. Without being born again, listen to me, you cannot live a Christian life. It's impossible. If you could live a Christian life without being born again, Christ would not have went to the cross and we would not need the filling of the Holy Spirit. If we could live the Christian life with the right attitude, we would not need the Holy Spirit and the guidance of God in our life. Strength to do God's will. Now, for those of us who are saved, because you are saved doesn't mean living holy comes automatic, does it? You ever struggle with things? You ever struggle with everyday life? You ever struggle with wanting to give somebody a piece of your mind or give them an opinion or something like that you've got or you've been mistreated and you know, now you're looking at your wife, you ought not be doing that right now, or your husband. And you know, you struggle with all these things. It doesn't come automatic. We've got to work at it. We need strength. Psalms 27:14 says, Wait on the Lord and be of good courage, and He shall strengthen thy heart. Wait, I say, on the Lord. Promise from God. Isaiah 40:29 says, He giveth power to the faint. That's the humble. He giveth power to the faint, and to them that have no might, He increases their strength. That's a promise from God. Isaiah 54:17 says, No weapon that is formed against thee shall prosper, and every tongue that shall rise up against thee in judgment shall be condemned. This is the heritage of the servants of the Lord. That's you and I. I know we see a lot on the charismatic sites and stuff, but it's true. No weapon formed against you, no weapon formed against me shall prosper. That's a promise from God. 2 Corinthians 4:17 says, For in our light affliction, which is before a moment, it worketh for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. That's a promise from God. Galatians 6:9 says, And let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we will reap if we faint not. Listen, well-doing is not only doing well to others, but well-doing is living the type of life which is pleasing to God. You ever thought about that? It's not just pleasing others, it's pleasing God. If we please God first and foremost,
we'll live a life that is pleasing and helpful and beneficial to others. He said, let us not grow weary. That's a promise from God, because there is a reward coming. There is a heaven to gain and a hell to shun. There is pie in the sky with the Lord Jesus Christ. There's a dessert coming. He said, don't grow weary. Don't grow weary. Put on the whole armor of God. Set yourself up. Gird your loins. Strengthen your mind to know that, you know what? It matters what I say. It matters what I do. It matters where I go. It matters how I live. It matters how I worship. It matters where I worship. It matters how often I worship, because I want to please Him. It's not a performance-based Christianity, but it is a Christianity based upon the performance of receiving the Holy Spirit. That, you know what? I am able to do these things because Christ is in me. And I do these things in order to please my Father. That's why I want to do them. Not to be saved, but to please Him. That's the promise from God. Philippians 4 and 13. I can do all things through Christ Jesus who strengthens me. That's a wonderful verse, but also it's a challenging verse. Because if I can do all things, if I can endure all things, which is perhaps a better translation, that means I have no excuse to be zigging and zagging. I have no excuse other than to do like Johnny Cash. Walk the line, baby. I walk the line. Have you tried walking the line with Christ? Have you tried leading the type of life which pleases Him? And the good news is, listen, we need God's strength in order to do that, but He's promised that He'll do it. And one of my favorite verses in the Bible, Philippians 1 and 6, as our pianist comes, listen to me closely. Philippians 1 and 6, I think everybody ought to have this on their refrigerator. Put it somewhere where you look very often, on your mirror, on your vanity or whatever. And when you're looking for strength every day, when you're wondering what's going on, Philippians 1 and 6, God made this promise. Listen to me closely. Be very confident of this very thing, Paul wrote. He said, be assured of this very thing. That means be steadfast. Put all your faith in it. It's like the analogy of the chair that we have. I come to this chair and I sit down because I've got faith in this chair. And I let it catch. I put all my weight, all my faith on this chair, because I have faith in the integrity of the chair, but more importantly, not only the integrity of the chair when I sit in it, I've got faith in the integrity of the carpenter that built that chair. Are you following me? And when I look at my salvation, I put all my faith in my salvation. It's not only in my ability and what I do and what I say and where I go, but my faith is in the ability of the carpenter that built my salvation. And when I put my faith and trust in Him, this is what He said. Being confident of this very thing, that He which had begun a good work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. Did you catch that? He that has begun a good work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. That's a promise from God. You say, what's that mean? That means, you know what? There's nowhere that you can go to escape the goodness of God, the love of God. Listen to me, Christian friend. Sometimes I like somebody, when I go, by the way, when we go to the jail services on Sunday nights and we have services either here or at Christmas, I want to encourage more of you to come. We have 8 or 10 come from Zion. I want to encourage you to come. Wonderful worship service. We have a full-blown service there. I understand you might hear the same sermon, a time or two, but it's always different in some way, shape, form, or fashion. But more importantly, even the Spirit of the Lord is different, it seems like, sometimes in that place. And I think the reason is because of the humility of those that are in there. You know, they've been caught. They've been arrested. But more importantly, there's some of them, a lot of them, that they realize as well, they've got to make changes in their life, and they realize how much they need Christ. And I think in churches all over America today, probably people attended church, and I don't know, but they probably attended church not because they need Christ. They attended church because it's Easter. They attended church because they had the clothes and the dresses and all the stuff on. That's wonderful. But do we really realize how much we need Christ and how much He sustains us and how much we depend on the promises of God? No matter what you've been through, where you've been, God says He will perform His work in you until He's finished. You know how you know when He's finished? They lay you down out here and they throw dirt on top of you. That's when He's finished. And He's promised to be with you to the end. No matter what. Do you know that? Have you experienced that? Are you relying on that? So I give the invitation this way this morning. If you don't know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior personally, not that you've experienced some baptism here or some other church or whatever, the Bible says you don't have to go back to an event.
You don't have to go back to a special church service. You don't have to go back to who you got on your knees. You don't have to go back to the baptism. You don't have to go back to what the preacher said or who it was. Paul told the church at Corinth, he said, examine yourself right now. You don't have to go no further than right here, right now. It's Christ in me. It's Christ in me. If he's not in you this morning, I want to encourage you, regardless of what everybody else around you thinks, to accept Jesus Christ this morning. And when you accept him, you have to accept not only his salvation, but you have to accept his character, his style, and his word. And you have to come to him with nothing, nothing. You have to come to him naked. Spiritually and emotionally naked. And say, here I am, Father. Here I am. Forgive me. Forgive me of my sinful nature as a human being. Forgive me of my acts of acting out that sinful nature. And here I am. And I'm trusting in you and I'm asking you to fill me with your Holy Spirit. Come and reside inside of my life, and I give you my life for the rest of my life. It's yours. Now, there's no other way to come. No other way to come. No other way. Do you know that you're saved right now? Do you know that you're Christian? Do you know that you're born again? If you're not, just a second, we're going to stand, and I want you to come. I want you to come to Jesus this morning. I want you to experience a promise from God, the most major promise you can ever experience, and that's Christ himself. And he wants to save you. And then second of all, this isn't all the promises that are there. But Christian friend, in all humility, do you realize how much we live every day relying on the promises of God? And do you realize those promises? And how much we need? And it's not only how much do we need, but then how much we should rejoice and celebrate that he's given us those promises to rest and rely on. How grateful we should be. As a Christian, if you found yourself zigging and zagging, if you found yourself getting out of the saddle, get back in it. Get back in the race and run that race with endurance. Get connected to the body of Christ. Get faithful to your family, to your wife, to your husband. Dad, be faithful to your children. Lead them in the way that they should go. Bible study, prayer, church attendance, and things of God. Mom, be faithful. Be the type that does her husband good and not harm all the days of her life. Be faithful. Love the Lord. Teach your children the things of God. And love you, church. Life is so short, eh? Life is so short. We done the Lord's Supper at the nursing home Friday night. I say nursing home, the assisted living, Wellington place. And so I shared just a tad bit with the seniors that were there. And no disrespect, and I share the same with them, but you know what? They're getting ready to inherit some more of the promises of God. To be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. What a promise. There's no death sleep. There's no land in the cold ground. And I shared several other things with them, and you know what? They can relate to it, and they can tell you that life is short. Life is short. Rely on the promises of God now, and all that, and live like you're relying on the promises of God now. And serve the Lord with gladness. Serve Him with humility. And the only way you can serve the Lord with gladness and serve Him with humility is through people and through the body of Christ in His church. Live like it matters. Live like it matters. Celebrate Easter. If you're lost, come to Jesus. Christian friend, maybe you haven't made it to the altar in a long time. But maybe you need to come this morning because God's kept you. There's another stream full. But you've been standing on some of the promises of God, and you know what you found Him to be? You found Him to be faithful. And maybe you just need to come and say, you know what, on this Easter, I humbly get myself out of my comfort zone, and I come to the altar and I say, thank you, Lord, for your promises. Thank you, Lord, for your promises. Let's stand right now. Heads bowed and eyes closed.
Heads bowed and eyes closed as we extend the invitation. With heads bowed and eyes closed this morning, with no one looking on, I want to ask the question, no matter who you are, visitor or member, but if you're here this morning and you realize that you're not experiencing the promises of God, God has arrested you this morning and you realize that you're not a Christian, but you would like to be one. You know that you're not saved, you're not a Christian, but you'd like to be one. Would you just slide your hand up right now and slide it back down? Nobody's going to come to you. Nobody will embarrass you in any way. Would you just slide your hand up and slide it back down? Anybody?